What's up, y'all? This is Rommel Watley, and welcome to Truckin' Hustle, the podcast for trucking entrepreneurs. If you want to learn about the trucking industry from the business side of things, you're in the right place. Every week, I interview the people who are making it happen on a daily basis. I get them to share their successes, their failures, and sometimes even their secrets. The goal is to show you how you too can create financial freedom in the booming trucking industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
All right, Hustle Fam, we are back with another amazing episode. I'm your host, Rommel Watley, and I'm here in Las Vegas. We've been to Vegas for a couple weeks now, man. I feel like we should have a residency out here, like Usher or something like that. But we're at the CLDA conference, FMF 24. And I'm here with the talented Mrs. Rosalind Ellerby, CEO of Express Errands Courier Service. Is that correct?
Express Errands and Courier.
Express Errands and Courier. I wanted to make sure I got the name correct. Rosalind, how are you doing today?
I'm glad it's the last day of the conference. I'm great.
Okay. Yeah. Amazing. So I'm excited about interviewing you because as soon as we met, you said to me, you know, I'm not just your typical like courier service. Like, I'm just not regular. And I like that. When I hear things like that, it gets me excited. So I know we have a story that the Hustle Fam is in store for. So before we kind of get into your story and all that, just introduce yourself, tell them who you are, and just a little bit about your business and what you do.
Business is, mm-hmm. All right, I'm Rosalind Ellerby, CEO and founder of three businesses. Express Errands and Courier is the first business. Also own Dream Team Digital Marketing. And my newest baby is Manifesting Greatness with Rosalind V, 360 Business Coaching. I'm based out of Atlanta, Georgia. I've been an entrepreneur for more than 20 years, and I absolutely love business. I love business development and just everything about growing a business. Been doing it for the longest.
I love it. So an entrepreneur over 20 years. What was your first business?
Oh, here we go.
Let's get right into it.
Okay. So my first business was a travel agency back in 2008. So then we had that pandemic. And I didn't want to let it go, you know, and it was the first business. I kept trying and trying, buying billboards and doing more marketing because I was doing marketing back then too. And my mom said, hey, Obama's giving checks, you know. it's real, you know. It was a recession.
Right.
And then Jeezy came out with recession.
That's right.
You know, and I'm, you know, not looking good. Bank account going down. And I end up losing that business.
So born and raised in Atlanta?
No, I'm actually from Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Jacksonville, North Carolina. How was it growing up there?
I'm in Atlanta now.
The answer was I'm in Atlanta now.
Yes, I'm in Atlanta now. Let me tell you, Jacksonville, North Carolina, at one point of town, is Onslow County. It was, I think about 15 years ago, it was the lowest paying county in the United States.
What is that called?
Onslow County.
Onslow County, okay. So it's a poor community.
Yes, it's a military base there, but it's just catered to the military.
Okay.
You know, and really the only way to make money is to be an entrepreneur, but it's not the same as being an entrepreneur in Atlanta. So needless to say that when the travel agency failed, I knew that my next business had to be a recession-proof business, hence the supply chain. Express Errands and Courier was birthed, and then Dream Team Digital Marketing was birthed, two recession-proof businesses. And then eventually, last year and a half, was Manifesting Greatness with Rosalind V, 360 Business Coaching.
Okay, so, got it. So you started business in North Carolina there. You were running the travel agency there. What made you start a travel agency?
Well, at the time, that's what I was interested in. And I was traveling at the time, okay. Yeah. And somebody sold me on the idea, and I bought their business.
Okay, so it was a business you purchased. So it was already an established business.
Mm-hmm.
You purchased a business. How much did you purchase the business for?
$45,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just to kind of establish who you are, because you said you love entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. did you go to college?
I went to college, but I did not finish.
Okay. What'd you study?
Business.
Okay. Where'd you go to college?
Community College, Coastal Carolina Community College in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And I did a little bit of at UNCW, in Wilmington, North Carolina, which is about 40 miles south of Jacksonville.
Okay, got it. So you went to community college, and then you went to the other school. You studied business. Mm-hmm. Once you left school, because you didn't graduate, what happened there? Did you buy that business immediately? And where did you get the money to buy that $45,000 business?
Well, it was a loan.
Okay.
And I eventually paid it back with what I was making in my travel agency, but that pandemic, yeah, and that sucked everything I had. I mean, I made $1 million with my travel agency, but chasing the dream of my business and not realizing that the economy was going down,
right,
you know, and I lost everything.
So you'd had the business for, I guess the pandemic was 2020. You started in 2000. When did you start the travel agency?
2008.
So that's what?
I know, 2006.
Years? And, okay, so you know, 14 years.
No, 2006. And then the pandemic was like 2008, 2009.
Not this pandemic.
No,
talking about the recession that hit in 2008.
Yes.
Got it.
That pandemic.
So that wasn't the pandemic. That was just the recession.
The recession. Yes. But it was, you know,
it like was a pandemic.
It was a pandemic to us. Like we're.
Got it. Yes, got it. Okay. Yes. Now I'm on track.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. So when the recession hit into that housing market crash, all of that stuff was just crazy, right? Your business started to take a.
Everything.
It started to get. It was impacted.
Yes.
All right. So 2008, that happens. What do you do after that? Do you lose the business or you?
I lost everything.
You lost everything.
I lost my cars, lost my house, I had a beach house. I mean, I had to start all over again.
So you made seven figures with that business and you literally had to start all over again. What does starting over look like?
It looks like you're going from mortgage to renting. It looks like that. It looks like, you know, you lost everything. And you lost, my pride was stepped on and crushed, and I'm going back to being a boss, to working for somebody, and going back from, like you say, seven figures to payday loans, and it was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Nah, but this is important because there's a lot of people that have gone through that and who are currently going through that, right? So how did you get through that? Like, just take me back to that point. Do you have any kids?
Or, I do.
So
I do.
They're dealing with that as well?
Mm-hmm. Like, well, I had one son, and I have one son.
Yeah, okay.
And at the time, you know, he acted like it didn't faze him, but you have to go from a child that didn't want for nothing, walking around $400 or $500 in his pocket at 12, 13 years old. And, you know, back then, you know, like having a phone and, you know, the little kid on the block that had everything. And, you know, of course, I was that cool mom, you know, we tight.
Yeah.
Things tight now. And Christmas tight. And it was difficult, you know, and it was hard to be a single mom and to go from shopping and not looking at price tags to budgeting and going from big houses to small two-bedroom apartments. And, you know, but I knew that that wasn't my forever. I knew that business ownership is what I wanted. You know, it took a little while. It was a lot of obstacles that I went through in life. And then some things happened and, you know, I had to go stay with my mom. And, you know, eventually I ended up starting another business, and that's when Express Errands and Courier birthed.
Yeah. Did you have any, so you stay with your mom, did you have any other help? Like from family, aside from your mom, or was just kind of just you, your son out there just on your own, just trying to make it happen?
Just trying to make it happen. I was forced to stay with my mom. It was, you know, I had to go take care of her.
Yeah.
You know, and in that point, I had to stop working. And I had $5,000 saved up, and you know, it's just like you get so hopeful that, you know, like I'm gonna put this towards business, but now like you have to stop working, and it's just like you want to give up, and you know, you go back and you're praying. It's like, dang, like God, come on, like, you know, just when I think I'm almost there, like I, you know, like I got my website together, and I got, you know, like, okay, like, dang, you know, but this is my mom,
right?
You know, and
so when you say you were forced to stay where was you taking care of her? You said,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, she just, you know, just life, you
got
know,
it.
And you know how it is. When you get to be an older adult and your parents are older, and it's just, you know, I'm the baby girl.
Yeah.
You know, and it's,
and you
just,
don't have any other siblings.
I was the sibling that took care of my mom.
Understood.
You know, so without a doubt, you know, and one thing I can say is throughout that process, my mom believed in me. She believed in me when nobody else did. I didn't come up here to get emotional now.
I'm sorry.
But we're going to fast forward past that part. But I will say that, you know, when I did go to my mom's house, I had $5,000 saved up, $5,000 and some change. And I took that $5,000 and I invested in a business coach. And I knew that this time around, I wanted to do it the right way. And I wanted to have guidance. I didn't want to let my pride steer me into the wrong way of doing business. I didn't want to lose business, but I knew I was going to be strategic. When I started Express Errands, because that's what it wasn't Express Errands and Courier, I didn't expect it to be all of this. I'm telling you, like, right hand, right now, I did not expect it to be through all these states. I didn't expect it to be, like, I didn't dream this big. I dreamed big, but I'm telling you, I did not dream this big. You know, with me being from a small town out on the beach, you know, I expected Express Errands to just run errands for people. And, you know, I just wanted the flexibility to, you know, go out, run errands and, you know, be able to come back, take care of my mom and, you know, and then eventually like hire somebody to, you know, fit in between when I couldn't get out and, you know, things like that. And next you know, then people were calling and it just evolved. But the best thing that I could have done was invest in that business coach. You know,
at 5,000.
And I'll tell you that was a tug of war too, because not even trying to relive that, but when I paid for the coach up front, you know, something happened in the situation and my mom ended up in ICU and I mentioned it to the coach and she immediately like sent me the money back. She was like, "You don't know what your future is going to look like and I'm not comfortable taking the money." And I said, "Send it right back." Hence the reason why I need this, okay? Don't send me this money back. We coaching.
Yeah. Why did you feel that you needed a business coach? Because you've done business, right?
Yeah.
You had a business, even though you had, you failed in that business, right? You failed because of the conditions of the market. It wasn't necessarily you were a bad business person because you were doing great prior to that. Why did you feel you needed a coach?
Because I wanted to do it the right way and I didn't want to make any mistakes. This is all I had, you know? All I had was my mom growing up and, you know, and I just didn't want to make any mistakes.
Yeah.
And I wanted the right guidance. I wanted somebody that had more expertise than me. You know, I had only been in business a couple years and it was in the travel industry. And somebody that, you know, you're going through a recession and I'm still believing that I had a chance and nobody was traveling. What mindset was I in? Like, right. You know, and I just wanted to make sure that I had another perspective, a professional perspective on business that would make sure that I was going in the right direction and giving me the right strategy. And I will say that up until about my ninth year in business, some of the principles from that business coach still applied and carried me through in my ninth year. And then that's when I sought another business coach, you know. But that was the best investment that I could do. And, you know, and business coaching is just that important, you know, because you have to look at when we're born, we have parents. Then your parent trust you to school, you have your teacher, you have your pastor, you know, you go to college, you have your professor, you go to work, you have your boss, you know, then after, you always have, you know, like the next level, you have guidance. So, you know, like I always want to have that. You have masterminds, you have, you know, so I don't want to just be out here dangling and guessing and, you know, things like that. So always.
Makes sense. Can you share some of those principles, just high level, what your business coach taught you that you said still remains relevant to this day?
Well, for one, like sales funnels and structures and, you know, passive income and making sure that, you know, you have certain things set up in your business as far as just small things like on your websites, capturing leads and, you know, the importance of nurturing, you know, leads as they come in. Because at one time people just come to the website and that was it. They fill out forms and that was it, you know, and then networking properly and there's so many. There's so many. You caught me on the spot.
It's all good. And maybe we'll circle back into them if you think of something.
Yeah.
Feel free to share it. What made you start Express Errands? Why that business? Did you know anybody who was doing that? Did somebody tell you it was a good idea? Why? I mean, you went from doing a travel agency to a whole different industry.
Great question. So I thought that was going to be a great idea. Like I said, it was express errands. There was nobody else in my town doing errands. I said, oh, this is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Nobody in my town, they're going to be doing it. But now that I look at it, and then I thought it was going to be a good idea, but actually when you go and become the only one in that industry, that's bad. Mm. You know, because there's nobody searching for that. There's no nothing. So right. When nobody's searching for it, there's not a need for it. So that's why my business didn't do well in Jacksonville, North Carolina, you know, and of course it wanted to do good after I got the idea to move to Atlanta. Then all of a sudden we get these routes. But you know what? Did that stop me from moving to Atlanta?
Right.
Because I already had some things lined up, you know. But what I did was, once I realized what I was, because I didn't even know I was a courier, you know, I was out networking with some people at the Chamber of Commerce, yeah. And it was like a realtor. She was like, oh, yeah, hey, you know, like, what do you do? And I'm like, you know, like, I go pick stuff up and, you know, I drop it off. And, you know, then this attorney calls me. I pick up some documents, go drop it off. Then, you know, then I have this pharmacy, you know, I go 3 times a day and pick up, like, you know, some crates of medicine and take to, you know, long-term care facilities. They're like, oh, so you're a courier.
Mm.
I had a BlackBerry. I said, got that little ball, Google. I said, courier. Oh yes. So I immediately went back home, went to the website. We are express errands and courier.
Right.
You know, went to the state of North Carolina, LLC. We're doing a name change. Everywhere we're express errands and courier. So that's how we birthed the name of Express Errands and Courier.
It makes sense. So you're able to get some definition around what you did, because you just kind of started the business, just doing the business and not really. Like, I'm building a courier service, right?
Right.
So my question is, I'm just kind of staying here real quick because I just want to understand. So in your mind, when you started this business, you said to yourself, there's a problem here, and the problem is what? People are not able to get whatever letters or whatever it is to people fast enough. Like, what was the problem you were trying to solve? And I'm just trying to understand what made you think that you could solve that problem, and then what made you think that was even a problem that was worth solving?
Well, I was thinking, because I'm from the beach area, and I was thinking, you know, like, tourists come in and, you know, they want errands ran, and, you know, it'd be perfect. You know, we could go fill up their refrigerator. This is like the pre-Instacart and the, you know, like, I'm telling you, like, I invented DoorDash.
You're kind of like ahead of your time.
Exactly. Like, we were doing that before, but of course, no back end, no, none of that. But I thought it was a great idea, but it was not in need as much in my area. Perhaps if it was like Miami or, you know, like a bigger city or something, it may have been a need.
Okay, got it. So you saying it wasn't a need, I'm assuming that getting the business off the ground was tough.
There was no searches. Nothing. I mean, paid ads, SEO, like, I do marketing, you know, like, I worked day and night. And I tell you, like, in this business, day and night, I go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. I was getting up at 6 o'clock, like, day and night. I was working on two businesses at one time. I was working on Dream Team Digital Marketing. I was working on Express Errands and Courier. I did not sleep, you know, like, I was going through that situation with my mom. And, you know, I didn't know what my future looked like. I gave up my whole life to come and take care of my mom. And when I did that, and then I gave that $5,000 to that business coach, like, this, something had to shake.
Yeah.
Okay. I had no other choice. Like, the hustle was real. You know, I had a son, you know, and he was a teenager at the time, and he acted like it didn't faze him, you know, and I couldn't be that mom, you know. And I just know that at that point I'm unemployable. Okay. I'm unemployable. I'm not going back to somebody else's job.
Yeah.
Okay. This got to work. So it's just day and night till it came to, till I strike something. And that's just how it is, you know. So I got more work in my marketing agency, you know, but I never gave up on Express Errands and Courier.
Yeah.
You know, so it's always something, you know. I've always been doing something.
And you're using your car to do this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So it's just you, your
car. Yeah, at first it was just me.
And some hustle, grit, and determination. You're trying to make this thing work.
Tenacity.
Okay. Got it. So we're struggling. We're trying to get this thing off the business. You're running two businesses at one time. You have Dream Marketing Services. You have the courier service. The courier service is not doing well, but the marketing is doing a little bit better. Maybe that's what's kind of keeping you at the moment. But you said you didn't give up on the courier service. What was that moment that kind of turned things around for you? Was it moving?
I would say that was a big part, but it was, I had a client that reached out to me, and then I got some route at work.
Okay. What type of client was that?
Medications.
Okay. They mm-hmm. reached out to you. How'd they find you?
Google.
They just found you.
Google.
So you had been putting in that work, so it ended up working.
Yes, it ended up working. And to this day, I still have that client. And to this day, that client was the determining factor when I moved to Atlanta. And I would tell you, now I am a Christian woman, and one of the facts that I would say that helped me decide on moving to Atlanta, it was like November 11th, November 13th, somewhere around there, 2018, and it was God woke me up and told me he had something better for me, you know, and it was to a point in my life, you know, not to be all in my past and stuff, but by then my mom had passed away, and it's just my son had went to the Army, you know, it's just wasn't happy. Yeah. You know, and I wasn't happy where I was. I just knew that it was something better for me. This can't be it. I was surviving, you know, maybe able to save $100, $200 a month in my savings. This not it. Mm-hmm. You know, God woke me up and said, child, pick anywhere you want to go. Okay. I put you on the Wi-Fi. I mean, on the Verizon, you got them hotspots. Anywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
And I, in my mind, I said, Atlanta, Miami, or LA.
Man, you chose the hot spots for real. Or are you choosing from the hot spots?
Those are the three.
Yeah.
And what I decided to do was, I said, you know what? I'm going to Black Hollywood.
Hmm.
I said, I'm going to rebrand my businesses. I'm going to work with the stars.
Okay.
And my first year in Atlanta, I worked with the stars. That first year.
Okay.
I went down there. First one I worked with, well, let me back up. Let's get to Atlanta first. Let's get to Atlanta first. But
I like where we're going with this.
Yes.
So let's get to Atlanta. Let me guide the story.
Yeah.
All right. So the business in North Carolina, it's just you, one car, and now it's like you have this epiphany. I need to move. God is like, hey, you, wherever you want to go, you have these choices, Atlanta, Miami, what was the other one? California, LA.
LA.
All right. So what do you, and you choose Atlanta, what do you do with the business, the existing business in North Carolina?
I'm glad you asked that question. So by now, I'm actually in Jacksonville and Wilmington, North Carolina, and I have a driver in Wilmington, North Carolina. And now, here goes the universe wanting to play with me, and now I get another opportunity, another routed opportunity for Jacksonville. Mm. I'm like, don't do this for me. I didn't already went to Atlanta and signed a lease.
Right.
Don't do this to me.
Yes.
I said, I'm not staying in this low-paying county. I'm not doing this. Don't do this to me.
Right.
Listen, so I said.
And this is another medical opportunity? Something similar to what you already did?
Signed a five-year contract.
Wow.
Listen, and so now here comes my skills of running a business out of state. Okay, so I'm like, what the hell am I gonna do? Okay, so you know what? I said, I know this lady. She do deliveries. Called her up. She said, oh, I could do it. Whew. All right, so I let her do it a week before I left so I could see her work ethics, you know, and I trusted her. My girl in Wilmington held me down. I'm telling you, she's a hustler. To this day, I could pick up the phone. I don't care what she's doing. And she's a realtor. She works at a group home. After the pandemic, she has a little bakery business. I mean,
she Jamaican?
No. No, she should be.
She got a lot of jobs.
Yeah. And if I call her, she put her group home people, look, on she get her kids to watch group home people and go do the delivery and then come back.
And then
go show a house 5 minutes later.
She's hustling for real.
Yes, but she's always there for me. But and if she can't do it, she'll get her kids to do it because her kids are grown. But so I had that situation going before I left. And but I'm like, oh man, so what should I do? I went ahead and left. You know, but that client that I had, so now I have two clients, two routed opportunities in Jacksonville, North Carolina before I left. So I called them up and I said, if I move to Atlanta, y'all got any work down there? They said, you know what, Rawson? If you move to Atlanta, we got this new project that I will just let you have.
Mm.
And when I moved to Atlanta, let me tell you, I moved to Atlanta January 11th, 2019. And when I got to Atlanta, January 11th, 2019, we will call it 3 weeks. But from January 11th to January 31st, and we know that ain't 3 weeks, but we got to make this number sound real. We got to make it sound real.
Right. So. Just for YouTube.
just for YouTube. But in between that time, I made more money in between that time than I did in all of 2018.
In that three-week period.
Listen, I said, I ain't never going home.
Hold on, what's the number? You got to give us a number. It won't be complete for YouTube unless we get the number.
42,000.
42,000 in 3 weeks.
Yeah, but you know I was in a small town.
Yeah.
But that was still a lot.
In Atlanta.
But that's a lot.
And this is an opportunity that came from the existing opportunity you had in Raleigh, right on time.
Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Raleigh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Somebody, I know you used to live in Raleigh. But yeah, Jacksonville, North Carolina, you get this opportunity, and in 3 weeks, they put you on. And they said, this is a project that we have that it's for you.
You know, mind you, now, yeah, but I made some more money because I'd already started. Once I decided in November 13th, 2018, that I was moving to Atlanta, you know, I told you I rebranded all the websites, started SEO, started marketing, and Yeah. I had already started getting calls.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was already starting to get, already had drivers and everything, you know? So, like, I came in Atlanta, like, came in strong.
You were ready.
You know, and in addition to what they were doing and in addition to the routes and stuff, and it's just been on and popping since, you know?
So, and this is still in the medical equipment industry.
Yeah.
This opportunity.
I'm still to this day with that client.
And give me an idea, what type of equipment, what are you doing? What are you doing for them?
It's prescription, long-term care facilities.
Ah, okay.
Medications.
So medications for long-term care facilities. So I'm assuming they have a network of long-term care facilities that they need medicine or whatever moved and transported between, and you're the go-to for that.
Yeah, so before they didn't ever offer routed opportunities, and they didn't offer like where you're picking it up in the masses and delivering it in sprinters. So I was the first person to, the first company to do it for them. And they said because I, you know, the longevity and the trust and the work ethic that me and my drivers provided them, they wanted me to come in and break in Atlanta for them.
Gotcha.
And then I went in and showed their other companies that they partner with how to do it.
Got you. Because I was just going to say why. Like, why did they entrust you with that project? You know, one, it was just like timing. Like, you were probably their go-to, right, in North Carolina. And like you said, you did a good job. You said you're drivers. So how many drivers do you have working for you, two, you said?
Well, at that time.
In Carolina.
Yeah, at that time.
Got it. So, but either way, it was two, but they were doing a good job. And they trusted you with this new project. All right, and so go ahead.
Let me just add this. And that same client, they use me in 21 places across the United States now. Whenever they have anything, they come to me first.
To you first.
To me first.
Wow. Wow. That is super dope.
So they're the reason I'm able to expand more across the U.S. As soon as I get more routes from them, then it's marketing.
Let's get
some more work over there.
So you kind of use them as like your North Star. Like, okay, where are y'all going next? We're coming. We're following you. And then we're going to open up shop there as well and do some other things.
Yeah. And they kind of helped me realize that I only really want to do business with businesses that want to expand, because my goal is to be 100% nationwide. So why would I want to work with a business that just wants to be a small mom and pop? I'm not a small mom and pop.
Right. All right. Now, tell me about that opportunity, because you have a contract now, and tell me a little bit about like how you went into that, because you had never gotten a large contract like that before, right?
Mm-mm.
So how did you approach that? Did you talk to your business coach? Like, how did you know how to negotiate what that would look like for you to make sure that you were, you know, paying yourself accordingly and your team and so forth? This just kind of helped me understand how you went about that.
Well, at that time, I didn't have the business coach no more.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, listen, I'm dangling.
Now it's just you.
Listen, I'm dangling, you know. And the first thing I did was, this is where I was introduced to the CLDA. And this same client that I'm telling you about is the one that told me, well, actually, they told me that I should go to the ECA marketplace to find more business.
Okay.
You know, and when I was Googling the ECA marketplace, I didn't find it, and CLDA popped up. And I said, oh, here it is, and I joined.
Okay.
And I joined the wrong company, but I joined the right company.
Organization.
Association. Right. And then I was in there and I joined. I said, oh, this is it. And so as soon as I joined, I found Lorena Camargo.
Okay.
And looked her up and, you know, reached out to her. And she was just so friendly, so nice. And I think she's already been up here with you before.
She has been. Yeah.
That's so, family. Yeah. And so I'm telling you, like, what's meant to be is what meant to be. And then after the CLDA is when I joined the ECA, you know. But a matter of fact, I think the first time I joined was here in Vegas. That was my first FMF.
Okay. And this was 2019, you said, right?
20 by then.
2020. Yeah. Right before before the pandemic?
I think it was 19 or 20. It was whenever the last time we was here in Vegas.
Okay. Probably. That was right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So now, I don't know if you answered my question directly, so I'm going to just ask it again.
Yes.
So I was trying to understand. So you said you joined the CLDA. So are you leveraging the organization? Is that what helped you to try to understand pricing? And because did you join them after you got the contract, or was that before?
No, I got the contract first. But as far as pricing, I was dangling. But when I joined, I'd seen Lorena. I thought I was going to try to make her my business coach, but mm-hmm. she was like, oh, no. She's like, I got somebody for you.
Okay.
And she introduced me to John Binko, and then he was my business coach, and we went over pricing structures and stuff to make sure that I was doing it right.
So were you doing it wrong at first?
Well, he said I was pricing it too much. He said he didn't understand why the people was paying my prices. They were so high.
Oh,
I said, God, right. Dude, I don't know.
But that's good news for it, because, like, at least it's not too low. Like, you're making a killing right now,
that's
right?
What he said. He said, if it's working for you.
Keep going.
I was like,
dodge that bullet, right?
Yeah. So,
that's so funny. Yeah. That's so funny. All right. Cool. All right. So, great. You join the CLDA. You get mm-hmm. some structure. You get to network with some people and so forth. They help you out with strategy and all that good stuff. All right. Let's get back to the business. So, you start to, you're growing now, and you're scaling. So now you have how many couriers? Tell me about how you start to grow with this, what'd you call it, medical, long-term care facility and so forth, how you started to build your business there.
Yeah, well, we're just with that client. We end up with that contract with them, I think it was, if I had to estimate, probably about 15 with that particular client. But, you know, we had got other contracts.
Yeah, so... So tell me kind of how that worked and how you went about scale moving into different niches and so forth, like just like how you thought about it, how you marketed yourself, the different opportunities that are out there that people may not even know exist. Just kind of talk about that.
Yeah, so they just came to us, you know, and I think what happened is just with me leveraging my marketing expertise, I don't do too much sales, you know. I just leverage a lot of my marketing.
They so come, a lot of your stuff is inbound?
Yes, they come to me.
Okay.
You know, and the pandemic really helped.
The pandemic helped?
It really did.
Tell me about that.
Well, we're a delivery service in the pandemic. When the world shut down, we did not. Mm-hmm. You know, everything still had to get moved. Everything still had to be delivered. And then, you know, COVID samples. Everything dealing with COVID. You know, so that...
This is still for the same facility?
Well, this is all over.
Other stuff.
So one thing about Jacksonville, North Carolina, I did forget to mention, is we were the dedicated courier for Onslow Memorial Hospital. So whenever, you know, it was the holiday or after hours, you know, they would call us. So they were partnered with Duke University. So the minute that the pandemic happened, we got a contract with them and Duke University. So we were doing runs from Onslow Memorial, Jacksonville, North Carolina, to Duke University, Chapel Hill, and then to Rocky Mount, just 7 days a week. And that alone, that was great.
Got you. So that's keeping the business going in North Carolina.
That North Carolina
is between thriving.
Thriving. Atlanta, thriving. You know, we were in Jacksonville, Florida, thriving. Austin, Texas, thriving. The pandemic did us great, you know. And I look back at just all the nights that I stayed up, you know, putting in that hard work and, you know, and then all the nights that I stayed up, you know, and you think about it and trying to find dispatchers, and I'm working so hard in my business, working on my business, and I couldn't even find the help because I'm so busy in the business trying to get it done. But yeah, things was moving so fast, you know. But I learned so much about business. But having a business coach really helped me get the structure that I needed once John came along.
Yeah, got it. Strategically, tell me how, because you're working in all these different locations, how do you build a business like this? Like, what do you, like, how important is location? I know you kind of alluded to the fact that you follow your customer, right? That's one of your strategies. What else are you looking at, like, to build? I mean, you have to find contractors to do this work. Like, just kind of tell me a little bit about the business model so people could get a clear understanding of exactly what you do and how your business operates.
Well, it just all depends on the client. You know, if you have a client that requires you to have to have your own asset, then I'll have my own asset. But if I could use the IC model, that's way more profitable for me. And the overhead, you know, it just makes more sense. It makes more sense for me to, you know, rent a small office and just have what I need there. Like, you know, if it's doing, we're doing medical and I have my coolers there, have all the supplies, and, you know, I have my lead driver that I'm paying more and he has the key or she has the key, and, you know, they could access the shirts and uniforms, and, you know, I could, you know, get everything I need and just, you know, like an, you know, office that's not manned, that's low overhead. Right. I could do that. And I'd find that way more cost effective than, you know, having a warehouse and having, you know, it's working for me. But when I get the opportunity, you know, if it comes to it, I'll jump in warehousing. But right now it just doesn't make sense because, you know, you have a warehouse and a couple racks not filled, you know, you know how that goes.
Empty real estate.
Yeah, that's the cost. You.
So you're setting up satellite offices mm-hmm. all across the country. So you have the opportunity, you set up the satellite office. Where do you have offices at now, just to give us an idea?
So we have one in Austin. We want to have one in Jacksonville, Florida. And that's it for now. We've had a couple other ones, but we just kind of slowed down. And, you know, you have to look at costs. So we have to let them go.
So Austin and Jacksonville, Florida. And mm-hmm. nothing in Atlanta?
We have our office. That's our headquarters.
That's what I was going to say.
And then we have Jacksonville, North Carolina, of course.
Jacksonville, North Carolina. Okay. Mm-hmm. So four offices mm-hmm. now total? Okay. And out of those offices, how many couriers do you have operating out of those locations, like high level
altogether? We have approximately 52 couriers altogether.
Okay.
And can I throw some future plans in there real quick?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to be opening up a sales office and an HR office in Miami by the third quarter.
Okay, that's amazing. So 52 couriers now, and that's a mix of independent contractors and employees.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so some of them work directly for you, some of them are ICs, or tell me, I'm not
sure,
I'm just assuming.
We only have two employees.
Okay, got you. So you usually, and I know in this industry, it's typical that it's the IC independent contractor model, but you said some contracts will require for you to have employees?
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
Yeah. When we're doing a little government contracting and we want to do more. So, and sometimes they require you to have assets. Some, you know, require you to have employees. It just all depends on, you know, the type of client that you're having, what you're doing.
Got it. So overall, the business is asset light, or asset less for the most part. No assets. You're able to gain the contract with whoever the provider or customer is, and then you're then allocating this work to those different couriers, and you work with them, they pay you, you pay them, and that's kind of how it works. Got it. With in terms of how often do you get the work, the scheduling, is it something that they give you weekly, monthly, is it a contract where you have it annually? How do you know what you're doing and what you're dispatching to these couriers?
Well, for the most part, the scheduling stays the same. You know, scheduling and routing, the schedule is routing, you know, and some of it, you know, dealing with medical, you have on demand, just depends on the client. But for the most part, the schedules are just set unless something happens and things change. You know, like recently we just had, you know, one where the client came in and they did an audit, like, you know, like, hey, these facilities, we're gonna, you know, just, you know, do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday instead of Monday through Friday. And I said, well, that makes sense, you know, because we really don't pick up much there.
Yeah,
you know, so it just all depends.
What are the different verticals that you're working in now?
Well, I will tell you, so after the pandemic, we are really just focusing on medical, because remember the travel agency?
Yeah.
And I'm focusing on recession-proof businesses and verticals.
Okay, got
so
it.
We're focusing on that, and we focus more on legal, and we do a lot of the entertainment, but the entertainment is more so legal.
When you say legal, is that like like documents?
Document deliveries. We work with a lot of insurance agencies and things like that, and it falls into the document deliveries, check deliveries, working with accountants and things like that. Like right now, it's kind of busy.
So, and you did mention earlier when you moved to Atlanta, you end up working with like some celebrities or some entertainers. Like, I don't know if you could name drop or just give us an idea of like what were you doing for them? Like, what does that look like?
Well, I don't think I can name drop because it's legal documents and stuff like that. But and this is in both of my businesses. But you can look on my Instagram.
Okay, got it. So, but just give us an idea. Are they like singers? Are they actors?
And reality.
Like reality stars. Mm-hmm. And you're delivering like what? Like a contract or what is it?
Delivering contracts, doing marketing service, because it's in both of my businesses. It's not just working with Express Errands and Couriers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. So I'm just trying to understand, like, with stuff like that, right? Like, because from my conceptually, when I think of it, I'm like, why do they need to find somebody to deliver like a contract? Like, what makes your service needed, right?
So, I'm gonna give you an example.
Yeah, please. Right.
I'm not gonna drop names, but I'm gonna say something. So,
yep. Okay.
So there's like a quote unquote trap house in Atlanta, and so then they opened up like another place, and so they were like moving furniture, so they hired us, and it was not even furniture, it was just like some chairs that could fit in a Sprinter, so just take it from this place over to the new place.
Gotcha.
Something like that.
Okay.
You know, and you know, they have events, they need chairs picked up, and you know, just like event stuff, you know, just small stuff,
small simple moves.
Yeah. But and the reason why I say that and I don't want to name drop is because, you know, like I say exclusivity.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my selling.
Got it. That's why they hire you.
Exactly.
Right? So, because they can get their stuff done privately and nobody has to know exactly what's going on.
It's kind of on the website, too. I'm like, it's kind of on the website, too. Like, you don't do that to me. Like, don't do me like that. Like,
right. No, I get it. Okay. I get it. Okay. How do you go about hiring independent contractors?
They start on our website. They get interviewed by our recruiter. And if we feel that they're a good fit, we do a little background on them. And but if we feel that they're a good fit, you know, they'll move on to the next level and go from there. They'll do a phone interview. And we'll see.
What do they need to work with you aside from they need to have the equipment, I guess, obviously,
yeah.
Right? So some sort of sedan or van or something like that. What's the largest class truck that you will use? You use box trucks, current vans?
Mm-hmm.
So like what would you use a box truck for? Like what type of moves do you do with that? Like
big and bulky.
Big and bulky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. Okay, cool. All right, so you continue to kind of grow the business now. So you say now is 52... employees, couriers,
driver, ICs. So let's not no employees.
ICs. Don't use that word. That word is not. That word is frowned upon in this space, right? Okay. So 52 ICs in 4 different locations, right?
Well, we're all over. You know, we're all over. Like we got routes everywhere. Like wherever my clients need us. I mean, they're not even listed on the website. It's where you need us, you know. And until I feel like we have a strong base there, then you see us listed.
Okay.
You know.
Got it. Okay. Are you able to talk like financially, like at like what, like or give an idea around like what you're able to move a package for, kind of like how the pricing structure kind of works? Are you able to kind of? We are here live at OTR Solutions HQ. I'm here with my partner, Jonathan. Man, listen, factoring is an integral part of the transportation industry. Why is factoring important?
Absolutely, Rommel. In this economy, in this market, cash flow is king. Cash flow is the key to growth. If you have a young trucking company, or if you've been in the industry for years and you want to take that business to the next level, we're absolutely a company that can help. So I hope you'll give us a call today. Let us know what we can do to help you out.
Get the rest and roll with the best. Let's go. Speak to that?
Just all depends.
Give us an example of something that's like, because obviously, like you said, every client is different.
Mm-hmm.
So give us an example of one that would be like, okay, I understand kind of how it works. Like just like, let's say to move something to a long-term care facility would be this, right? Like just high level.
Okay, so we'll talk about Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Because
you know, like every area is different.
Yeah.
You know, so like a base rate for Jacksonville would be something fair, would be $35.
Okay.
You know, and we could go, you know, we do 10 miles. We do about, depending on what it is and how big it is, but averaging about up to $2 a mile, in between $1.50, $2 a mile. But it just all depends on the area, what it is, the weight, the size, excuse me, all that they have to do. Are they going upstairs? They, you know, like everything they have to do, because everything counts.
Right.
You know, and then you just have to look at the area, because now you go out to Austin.
It's a little different.
Them drivers ain't playing that.
Right. Right.
They want the money out there. So, you know, we have to price our things a little bit higher out there when it comes to our deliveries. And so, you know, base rate is a little bit different out there.
So you start, so the way you build it, the pricing, is you start with your base rate, which may be like $2 a mile. And then it's like, okay, you want the driver to go up some stairs, or he needs to lift this or assemble this or whatever. Then it's like, okay, that's going to be an additional $50 or an additional, and that's kind of how you build the pricing?
Yeah, and then, you know, oh, was the driver out there waiting more than 15 minutes? Okay, 75 cents a minute, you know, like, or whatever.
That's something you can actually do? You can build that, like detention time?
The air we breathe is not free.
Listen, that's a struggle sometimes. No, I mean, truck drivers will wait, you know, 2-3 hours and not get detention time sometimes.
I'm running business.
It just depends on, like, you have to have that built into your contract, so make sure that you get that.
No, it's built in our contract. Yeah. But you have to look at it, like, your dispatcher is on hold. Like, every part of your business costs money.
Right.
You know, and my drivers, nobody's doing nothing for free. I don't want them to.
Yeah.
You know, so, and at the end of the day, when you're dealing with ICs, they choose to be with me. And I want them to. I don't want them to go choose with nobody else. I need reliability, dependability, and all of that. So in order for that is, I'm going to take care of them.
Yeah.
And that's why they gravitate to me, because I take care of them.
That's a good point, because with a lot of the ICs, and from my understanding of this industry, they bounce around to work for different couriers. How does that impact your business? Are you able to retain the same guys and gals for the most part? And how do you do that? And, like, how do you deal with the fact that, hey, they can go and work for somebody else at any given time? Like, do you have to continuously stay overstaffed? Like, how do you combat that?
Listen, my drivers don't go nowhere. They don't go nowhere.
Why?
They listen, because I take care of them. And not just me, but, you know, it's just how we do them. You know, I have drivers that, you know, drive up to 3 hours to come and get their first delivery. And it's... I don't treat them like a number. And it's, when I say I'm talking we as a company, you know, because obviously my hand ain't all in it, because I'm doing everything else.
For sure.
But I do more than the average. I actually care. You know, if you're coming 3 hours to, you know, pick up your first delivery and you're putting all this time in with me, you know, I care about you. Look, I have free snacks out in the office. We have free drinks for them. You putting the time in, come on in.
Yeah.
You know, put some time in. Like right now, we getting a little leisure room for them to have a recliner, you know, because sometimes you got to put them 3 hours in to go back home. Like, get you some rest.
Yeah.
You know, because you think about after riding all day, people think that just driving is an easy job. No. Your eyes get tired, you know, your brain, you're thinking all day. And if you ever been in Atlanta traffic, that's stressful. Okay. So take a break. Put your feet up for a minute, you know. So I corporate different.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just, you know, they be in line waiting for somebody to drop off to get in line over here to get a job with us. Well, opportunity, excuse me.
There you go.
Can't use the word job. Opportunity.
That's right.
You know, but the ones I have, they stay.
What does your organizational structure look like? I mean, it's obviously you at the top. Who else do you have outside of the ICs yourself? What does the business look like?
Yeah, I have a full team. I have teams in the office. I have remote. The remote team is bigger than the office team. You know, and I'm starting to feel like, the office team, what do I need? But the way I'm restructuring it is, I'm just going to have management in the office and everybody's going to be remote. And then my new office that's going to be in Miami is going to be just sales and HR, because I'm getting to the point where, like, HR is big, you know.
When you say remote, like, you mean like offshore? Like an offshore team, or they're
like just remote, working from home.
Okay, working from home. Okay, I'm just making sure. So You have everybody working from home, and those are like dispatchers and
customer service,
salespeople,
operation coordinator, just, you know, like my executive assistant, and then my whole marketing team, they're all at home and, you know, because all my different companies.
Right. What are you spending most of your time doing?
Orchestrating. Reading, checking, looking behind, making sure everybody doing what they're doing and, you know, trying to collapse time.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So what are the future goals, I guess, for Express Errands? What are you looking to, I mean, because you've already had success, you've grown tremendously within this niche. You said you're sticking to this niche because it's recession-proof. What else are you eyeing? Because you're an entrepreneur, right? So it never stops.
You want me to tell it?
Absolutely. That's what we're here for, to tell it.
Okay, tell it, so listen. I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is. If I tell it, somebody else might try to jump on it.
But they won't be able to do it like you, so.
For sure. But listen, we are in the process of launching products and services that will benefit you and your viewers, anybody listening, and be profitable. And that's all I can say.
That is as high as high level can get.
Yeah.
We're launching products and services that will benefit me and the viewers.
I mean.
What type of products and services?
Some that's going to make you money.
Oh, okay, got it.
You're
creating opportunities for
opportunities,
people.
Yes.
Within the logistics and within the space.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about.
Within the
courier space.
Within entrepreneur space.
Within the entrepreneurial space.
In addition to digital products.
Okay.
That I'm already, you know, we already have digital products, but I haven't launched them.
Okay, got it.
Now, I'll give you that. We have digital products. I just haven't launched them.
Okay, got it. Okay, cool. I got it.
But they're not digital products. What I'm talking about is
this
like...
This is something different.
Look, year one is already going to bring in $3 million. Year two is going to be like $6 million. So
how do you know?
I did the numbers. I already know. And this is just like, all right, this is just...
Is that because of the total adjustable market and you just know like, have you proven this concept already?
I know without a doubt.
All right, so we got to talk off air, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I know what
you can tell me all about it. All right, I want to get more into just some tactical stuff for the audience with the courier services, because there's a lot of information out there, right? And it could be misinformation. I want to make sure it's good information coming from you. How when you go about getting these contracts, what do you said a lot of them come to you, right? So they're Googling you, they're finding you. What's the appetizing contracts to you, and what are the stuff that you don't want to do? Like, is there anything that you refuse or that's not a good opportunity?
Great question. White glove.
White glove.
Yes, I don't want the liability of white glove. Been there, done that.
Okay, got it. So you have done it, but you don't like the white glove because of the claims. Talk about that. Have you had a claim before? What happened?
No. I've seen all my people have claims, and it scared me. Okay. I got out before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. So you don't want to deal with that. Any type of products that you don't want to move that have any type of liability? Or let me ask this. Is there anything that you need to move any of this stuff specifically, like any type of compliance-related insurances or any type of certifications or anything like that that's important that people should know or that, you know, people should look into if they wanted to get into this space?
Well, it just all depends what they're interested in. And if they're, you know, like if you're going after, whatever you're going after to get certified. I mean, if you're trying to do hazmat or, you know, life science or the chemo and things, just get certified. TSA, I would get certified. Whatever vertical you're trying to get in, get your credentials, endorsements, and get a niche and stick with it.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't be everywhere. And everybody always tell you when they talk to me and I ask them, well, what's your vertical? What you want to do? Oh, I'm going to do everything. You know, and as a marketer, I'm going to tell you, you can't do everything. You need to specialize in one, two, or three, because you're waste all your marketing dollars saying that you do everything. But if you do three things and put it on your website, you'll be found quicker than saying I do everything. Nobody will find you.
Yeah. No, that's super important. You're also a government contractor. Is that accurate?
Well,
or you're certified.
Yeah, I'm certified. I'm a certified.
What's your certifications?
WBE and MBE.
WBE, MBE, and you've been awarded one contract?
One so far.
What did that, how, tell me about that.
Partnership with somebody.
Okay.
So I'm a sub on a contract that they were not in my state, and you have to have, you know, be in the state to get it. And they were like, oh, well, can I, you know, use your address and I'll give you the work. I'm paying however it happens, you know. So the good thing about that is once you're a sub, you know, the next contract, it just falls out there. So I'm like, I've been on the hunt, like, come on. But there's no, haven't found any career work where I'm looking at, you know. But I'm on it. You know, next month they have a big conference in Denver with WeBank, and that's the company that certified me. And so I'm looking out. I'm looking forward to going to that one. It's huge. You know, there's all kinds of corporations going to be there, government entities, and I'm going to walk away with something. I'm manifesting this one.
Yeah. Was the subcontract that you got, was it lucrative for you? Like, was it a good opportunity? Is it something you're still currently doing?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like a annual, like how long is that contract?
We've been on it 2 years. It's okay. 5 years.
It's a 5-year contract. Mm-hmm. So you're pretty much locked in as a sub on that contract. Is it only you, or are there other subs?
No, just me.
Just you. So you said you partnered with the person.
Yeah, because they're out of state and they needed somebody local.
Okay.
To do it.
And what commodity are you moving with that particular contract?
Specimens.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it. So you've got consistent flow, specimens, and what area is that in?
Georgia.
That's in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. What is the most difficult part about your business?
Well, I would just say change. Because one thing about this business is you could wake up in the morning and you could say, like with me, just being, you know, the founder, I'm going to write on my planner, this is everything I'm going to do today, but, you know, I might get one or two things done. It's just change. Adapting to change is probably the hardest part. And I would say maybe to my earlier self is the structure. If I were to say like maybe 3 or 4 years ago would be building the company, the structure. Now I know just pay people what they're worth. You know, before, you know, just coming up, I'm like, oh, it's tight. But like now we got benefits, we got 401k, excuse me. Matter of fact, I'm even matching 6%, and people's telling me that's more than the average, you know, and that's what my goal is, to be the best paid employer, the best paid drivers, the best, you know, because I realized that if you pay people.
You're not an employer. Not an employer.
But I have staff.
Oh, you're talking about your 401k for your staff?
Yeah, for my staff.
Gotcha. I thought you were talking about the ICs.
Oh, no.
I was going to say, I don't know. I was going to ask you, how do you provide that stuff for them next? But
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no. But that's just, ideally, I just feel like, you know, as long as you pay people good, you know, they'll be there, you know. But I do know money doesn't buy loyalty. But, you know, when people don't have to worry about things, they're in a comfortable situation.
Gotcha. Okay. So you would have set up your structure a little bit differently earlier, and you would have probably had some better luck with retention and stuff like that.
Yeah, because it was a lot of turnover. But then, I don't know, because that was during the pandemic, and the labor was just different then, because they're getting out that free money. And so I don't know, maybe it wasn't me.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't.
That's possible, because it definitely was some other things that impacted all businesses.
Yeah, I just thought about that.
With your contractors, what are there, like, because there's a lot of change and a lot of talk and things going on in that world as well. What are you foreseeing? What are you planning for? Are you just going to kind of take it and just go with the flow? Like, what are your thoughts on that? Because that would impact your business tremendously, right? I know even here they were talking about, you know, the administrations and trying to get rid of the independent contractor model and so forth. What are your thoughts on that? And how do you pivot, you know, as we kind of move forward into the future?
Well, right now I can't focus on that far in the future, because I live in the right now. So I just have to go with the right now. I would love to prepare for it, but I just have to live in the right now. I'm all about my time, and I can't focus on preparing for something that I don't even know if it's even going to happen.
Right.
Right now we live in an IC model. And that's where we're going to stay right now. And if they do want to change, I already have, and you know, like an employee base. So it would be nothing for me to turn that switch on if I would have to do that. So if it happens, it happens. I hope not. But, you know, I mean, my drivers, they like their independence. They, you know, they're bosses, you know, in their mind. And they are, you know, because that's how I started, you know, until I reached a certain tax bracket. And then they're like, oh, no. No, 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 no.
Right.
And now, of course, we're S Corp. We're not, you know, LLC anymore. So it's just different.
When did you hit seven figures with the initial business? Did you hit seven figures with this courier business now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm establishing that. When you got to that point, back to that point, like, what was that like?
Man, let me tell you. You know what? All I could do is just get on my knees and cry. And, you know, oh, Lord, you're about to make me cry now. But one thing I say is, I just thank God. Again, like I say, when nobody believed in me, my mom believed in me. On my mom's deathbed, she said she had $200 in her bank. Said, take that out and put it in your business. And I could just say, thank God. When I got there, I called my son. I told him we made it. Even though he don't want to work in the business with me, I said we made it, you know. But it was a beautiful feeling. And all I can do is put it back in the world. You know, when people ask me, you know, I get people all the time that, you know, come to me and ask me, you know, questions about the industry, and all I could do is just give it back to them, you know, tenfold. Because I remember when I started out, I didn't have, you know, anybody that was in the courier industry to, you know, bounce questions off to. So I just give it back.
Yeah.
You know, and this is where we fall back into the CLDA, you know, and giving it back.
Yeah.
You know, because now, you know, I'm a board member, you know, making history, doing
it. That's right. That's
first African-American female to sit on the board of directors, you know, and I'm just happy about it, you know. And then in addition to that, you know, I'm going to continue to break historical barriers, you know. I just got another award, and I said I wasn't going to mention it because it's just like too much going on at one time. But, you know. We just got, I speak for me and my team because I can't do it without them, but I just got the Enterprising Woman of the Year Award.
Oh, wow.
And it's just blessing after blessing after blessing, and but again, I can't do it without my team.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna get you.
Man, you deserve it, man. You let know, it out. It's all just, good, man. You came a long way.
It is, but and then just to look at it, and it's just like every year is, I look at, you know, it, when it's tax time, and I just look at, you know, like my income, and it's just like it'd be doubling. It'd be like doubling. I'd be like, Jesus, you know, and then the tax man be like, I'd be like, Jesus, why y'all want all that money? Like, I'm about to start a nonprofit or something. You know, like God. Listen, like, why? You know, but it's all good, you know. I want to leave my mark in history. You know, I want to leave my name in history books. I want to be an inspiration for people. I want the little brown girls to have somebody to look up to. Like I didn't have that. You know, there was no successful black woman in the town that I came from that I could look up and say, I want to be like you. I want to be that person. You know, just like right now, I just signed up for the Big Brother Big Sister program. I'm a big, you know, and like I got matched with my little, you know, and like it is just so awesome. And you know, I just want to be an inspiration to people, and however it comes, you know, I just remember when I was at my lowest, you know, and I'm glad I'm in the position that I'm in now, and I'm in the position to hold my hand out and help the next.
Yeah That's an amazing thing. Are you able to share your revenue, what your company did last year, or give us a roundabout idea?
It's not where I want it to be, but we're over a million or two or three. We're over it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are your goals for 2024? What do you think you'll cross? Do you think you'll get like past five or?
Definitely.
Definitely past five.
Definitely.
That's love. That's love.
Definitely.
All right, man. This has been a great discussion, as I knew it would. I had a feeling that I was going to be, moved by this conversation. So I appreciate you for taking the time out. As we wrap and bring it to a close, we'd have to do two things. Number one, I want you to plug, where we can connect with you directly. Plug your marketing agency again. And I want you to briefly talk about what you do there, because I want people to know that they can also reach out to you in regards to marketing also, because we didn't spend a lot of time on that. Let them know where they can find more about Express, the courier service. And then we have to do a final thought.
Okay.
So let's start with just where they can find you and learn more about the businesses.
Yeah. So the easiest way to find me is on LinkedIn, Rosalind Ellerby. And on LinkedIn has all my connections to all my business pages. And Dream Team Digital Marketing. You could just Google it. It's up there. And we're on Instagram. I'm on Instagram. My personal Instagram is Rosalind's Dream. And it has all my businesses connected there. And let's see, what was the other question?
So the final thought, but real quick, the marketing agency, do you guys what are you marketing specifically? Any type of business or transportation businesses or anything?
360.
You need marketing? Come to Roslyn.
Yes, we do websites. We do ads. We do SEO, obviously, because listen, that's what got me where I'm at.
That's a fact.
Yes, we do the Facebook ads. We do landing pages, sales funnels. And if you don't have sales funnels, you need sales funnels. Every business needs sales funnels. We do ebooks, we do books. I mean, like, we ghost wrote books for people that got on the bestseller list before, so we do it all, and in addition to that, business coaching as well, Manifesting Greatness with Rosalind V. And in a final thought, I would say that, and not even promoting me, but a piece of advice I would leave with, people, just reach out and get help. First thing I did when I knew I was getting back out there, I gave my last to a business coach that carried me for years. And then, like I said, I was dangling right there. And the first thing I did when I joined the CLDA was
I got another
business coach, because I was at 650,000, and I was like, ooh, we're getting close. I better, I'm scared.
Right.
But I would say my piece of advice is, just find somebody on the next level, a mentor, or really invest in a business coach. Don't even try to get nobody free. Invest in somebody, because free people is just going to give you free work. So that would be my advice for somebody.
Get what you pay for.
For real.
100%.
100%.
Man, if you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. Hustle fam, this has been another amazing episode. Rosalind, thank you so much for joining us today. We got to learn about your story and learn about the businesses. Very inspiring story, and I wish you so much success in the future, and I just know you're going to continue to kill it.
Thank you so much.
And I want to give a shout out to the CLDA too, man, Jason, Lorena, the whole crew, for facilitating this and putting this together. Just great people, man. They're like family, really.
Yes.
I feel like an extended family member here at Truck and Hustle, so really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's right, Hustle fam. You know what we do around this time? If you smell something burning, it's only a desire. Myself, Ms. Rosalind Ellerby. We are out.
If you twisted, confused, or stuck about trucks, don't be dumb. This is the place to come. Truck and Hustle. Let's go!